You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Take and turn with us. Psalm 57 and verse number 7. Psalm 57 and verse number 7. Let me make a couple comments here about last weekend. It was probably one of the greatest weekends we've ever had here spiritually in this church, as a catalyst, as a breakthrough. As we talked about worship, we're going to continue in that theme of worship, but also as we gathered last Sunday night for our miracle service and anointed folks with oil, prayed the prayer of faith, people stayed and praised and worshiped and praised and worshiped and just lingered around this altar, and it was a special time. Here's what happened. Something in the heavenlies is breaking in this church. God is doing something. See, God does nothing except in answer to prayer. When we pray, something happens that wouldn't otherwise happen. And when we don't pray, something doesn't happen that should have happened. And people are praying, and hearts are passionate. And I just will say this, it's an awesome time to be a part of what God is doing right here in this church. Amen. I've looked forward to this this morning, this series. We're looking at the power of a life of worship. And understanding that worship is not just what we do in the sanctuary, that it is a way of life, that worship takes place privately in our life, but worship cannot stay private. That we worship in our work, we worship in our marriage, we worship in our parenting, and whatever we do as unto the Lord. But you cannot get away from this declaration of praise, this sense of giving allegiance to God with our words, with our song, with everything that's within us, and it really comes together when we worship God here on this Sunday morning. This is catalyst time for every day of our life. But if worship is in our mindset is simply we walk into these doors and we're going to sing some songs, we have no concept. That's the furthest thing. That's religion. That's American Christianity. Come in and sing, because we don't come to church to worship. Every week I say it. We don't come to church to worship. We bring our worship into church. And if there's no worship out there, you're not going to worship in here. The Bible says we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Amen? And so worship is who we are. It's not an event that just happens on a Sunday, but it's a life, and we bring our worship. We bring our commitment. We bring our declaration. Here's a passage of Scripture. Psalm 57 and verse number 7 says, my heart, let's declare it together. My heart is steadfast. Let's declare it together. That means we're going to talk out loud. Ready? My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Is that your commitment? Did you come to church today saying, my heart's ready. My heart's committed. I will sing. I will sing. I will give praise. My heart is immovable, always abounding in the worship and the work of the Lord. I have a resolute purpose. I will sing and give praise to God. Those are words of David, and David is a man after God's heart. Great sin, we understand. Great failure. What caused him to be a man of God's heart? Of God's heart. He had a resolute purpose. He had an understanding that his life was to be a life of worship. I don't know how that translated. I don't know if it was on a Palestinian hillside while he's tending sheep and he looks up to the starlit heaven and the stars declared his glory. I don't know if it was a sunset or a sunrise or it was that brook running down through the hills. I don't know if it was seeing the animals. I don't know if it was in a prayer time, but something got a hold of him and he understood God, my life, eternity is all about worship. And he wrote one of the great worship hymnals, the greatest in all the world. Most of Psalm was written by him. What is praise? Praise is all of me, all, every part of me, spirit, soul, and body, all of me. Not just my soul, not just my rhythm, not just my feelings, but my spirit and my mind, my will, my emotions. So worship, I don't check my brains when it comes to worship. They're not separated. I worship God with all of me. I worship him with my spirit, that innermost being, with my mind, with my will, my wants, with my emotions, with my body, every part of me responding to everything that I know of God. And remember, we say it that way because I want to know more of God. So everything I know of God, I'm learning. So everything I do as worship. My heart is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. I'm going to sing. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise the Lord. Now, real quick, let me keep this before us. And I know it's been a theme of ministry in these times that we're here. The Bible says this. The Bible says, John 4:23, it says, the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. We talk about this. We're gonna talk about it just a few more weeks, getting this ingrained in us. Before Jesus came to this earth, he's talking to the Samaritan woman. This is even before Calvary. Before Jesus came to this earth, worship took place in a very different way. There was not that sense of intimacy in worship. The presence of God was behind a curtain. There was one man that went behind that curtain. And it was the high priest. And so people stood out in the outer courts. We'll talk about it. It comes from Psalm 100, but it says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. But that was out here. It wasn't heart to heart and close to God. It wasn't that intimacy. And so what Jesus is telling this woman is there's a time coming, and right now it is, because I'm here, because he's saying Jesus is here, when worshipers will worship the Father, how? In spirit. In spirit. I want you to be able to articulate this, share this. This is why people miss connecting with God. It's why so much of American Christianity is a show and not a worship experience. And the show has nothing to do with lights and bands and all of that. I have no problem. In fact, I love the way we do worship and want to do it more extreme. I love our band and how it takes place. Worship, though, is not how a band does it. It's about our heart. See, the band and the worship, the lights, everything, it draws me, it helps me, I focus, I'm able to worship. But see, it's a spiritual experience. And so much of worship just simply remains right here in a natural, in a rhythm, in a beat, in even some emotionally moving words. But that's not worship. Worship happens how? They that worship in spirit. See, you got to know Jesus to worship. And when Jesus has come into your life and that dead man has become alive and you are no longer dead in your trespasses, but you've been awakened and no longer are you trying to argue all the reasons why God doesn't exist, but you have been convinced of why he does exist and his spirit has bore witness with your spirit that he is the Son of God. See, that has to happen. If that doesn't happen, then we don't have a snowball's chance because the disciples saw the risen Savior, didn't they? Guess what? By the Spirit, I've seen the risen Savior. You have too. If you don't have a revelation of Jesus, you're not saved. Hello? So the spirit man wakes up, and when the spirit man wakes up, all of a sudden life makes sense. They that worship God, they worship him in spirit. Why spirit? Because God is a spirit. You can't worship God in the natural. He became natural. Listen, he became natural to show us how to get to God so we could worship him in spirit. He didn't become natural just to identify with us so we could stay natural. He became natural so we could become supernatural. Amen. He became man to show me how to get to God, how to connect. And so we worship him in spirit. God's a spirit. We worship him in spirit. My spirit is alive. My spirit is alive. It affects my emotions, but it's not just in my emotions. It's deep within me. How great the Father's love. Why? Because I was dead, but now I'm alive. Total difference. Been singing, how great the Father's love for us. Man, that's good. But oh, to know how great the Father's love for us. And I know it in my heart. Amen. It's totally different. So I worship him in spirit, and then I worship him how? In truth. Truth. This is awesome. Jesus is the way. He's the truth, and he's the life. I worship him in truth, meaning I worship him from the standpoint, what is ultimate truth? There's only one thing in the world that's ultimate truth. What is it? The Word of God. God's Word. God and his Word. Can't separate them. And there's only one thing in the world that's ultimate truth. And so I base my worship on the Word. My response, everything I do according to the Word, truth. It also has to do with this. It has to do with understanding truth that I no longer try to hide how I feel about God. God's not looking for secret agent Christians in America. Do you know that? God's not looking for incognito, undercover Christians. That's not your ministry. I just want you to know that. He's looking for people that just love God, love people. So I'm truthful about my love for God. Not inhibited, but I'm inhabited by his spirit. I worship him in truth. I speak truth. Get this down, jot this down. Here's a phrase we've talked about and talk about a few more times. We need to worship and praise God from principle and not impulse. I worship him in truth. I worship him because he's worthy. Truth has nothing to do with how I feel. How many understand the truth doesn't change because I have different emotions? Right? So I need to learn to worship him from principle, from truth, and not from emotions. And that's why David said in Psalm 57:7, my heart is steadfast. My heart is steadfast. You talk about an emotional dude. David was one emotional dude. You talk about the greatest blues singer of all time. David was a great blues singer. He got way down, and then he would get real happy. So what did he have to say? He said, my heart's fixed. My heart's steadfast. I'm gonna stay committed to this thing. And And so we understand that praise and worship, it's the foundation. It is the foundation of all life. It's the foundation of all life. Everything. We've talked about Cain and Abel's experience. It was over worship. Satan fell over worship. World conflict is over worship. Where do we worship? Do we worship at the Dome of the Rock? Is there worship that takes place at the temple? The Holy Spirit fell in worship. Miracles fell in worship. The issue of today, the issue of this morning is worship. Who are we going to worship? Are we going to worship a job? Are we going to worship Jesus? Are we going to worship our hobby? Our jobs, our hobbies, our kids that keep us from Jesus and church? The issue is worship. What are we going to place as worth-ship in our life? This thought came to mind this morning even as I was going through. You know, a lot of people worship their ministry. Worship their ministry. Let me just tell you something. God doesn't need your ministry. And God doesn't need mine. He chooses to use me. He chooses. And I'm amazed by that, and I'm grateful for that. But you know, God doesn't need me to do something for him. Do you know that God really wants my worship? Martha got caught up with her ministry. We don't hear a lot about Martha, but boy, we sure do Mary, because Mary got extravagant and worshiped at the feet of Jesus. Does that mean I shouldn't be in ministry? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say you better have a right perspective, because there's much more emphasis on being than on doing. And out of being and out of worshiping comes our work and our ministry. Mary taught us to risk in that. Real quick, difference between prayer and worship. Prayer and worship, they're not the same thing. Prayer goes into the presence of God to take something away. Prayer goes into the presence of God to ask something. In no way do I want to diminish prayer. I thank God for prayer. Prayer is my lifeline. I live in fellowship and communication and prayer with God. But understand, there's definitely a difference. And I don't think that we understand the power of a life of worship. Yes, I think we get a little glimpse of the power of a life of prayer. But I also want you to understand this, that prayer, in a sense, is even a praise, in a sense, is even a greater weapon against the enemy. And that's what I'm going to show you this morning. Prayer is petition. Praise, what is praise? Praise is giving something to God. I don't have anything in this world he wants. He don't want my money. He don't want my car. He don't want my truck. He don't want my Jeep. He wants my heart. The only thing in the world I can give him is what? Is my praise. And so praise goes into the presence of God, and it's like an incense. It's there. It stays. Prayer takes something from the presence. Praise remains. Prayer will cease. Praise will never cease. And so, that's the foundation, if you will, a foundation of what praise is. Now, we talked last week that praise reverences the Savior. And we may end up talking about that a little bit at the end. Here's what I want to share with you this morning. Jot this down. So here's our foundation of praise, why we're doing this. I will bless the Lord at all times. This isn't a part-time calling, the part-time occupation. I will bless the Lord at all times. My heart is steadfast. I will sing. I will give praise. Now, this morning, here's what I want you to get. Praise, the power of a life of praise and worship. Praise resist Satan. Praise resist Satan. In a very real sense, praise lifts up a standard against the devil. And for some reason, Satan fears praise more than he does anything else. Or should I say, fears praise even more than he does prayer. Praise is a weapon against the enemy. Let me give you a couple of insights here concerning this idea of praise and worship. Why a life of worship? Last week we talked about reverencing God. How about this? This resist our enemies, or resist Satan. 2 Chronicles, and this passage is really long, so I'm going to highlight it, and it's going to be hard for you to follow it on reading. So you're going to want to write it down or look it up in your Bible, and you might want to jot down just the scriptures that I bring to mind. But let me give you the setting. The setting is a guy by the name of Jehoshaphat. Anybody here ever heard of Jehoshaphat? Handful of folks. Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was the king of Judah. And here's what had happened. Is several armies had come in against this king. And so Jehoshaphat goes to God, and he begins to cry out to God to see, what am I going to do? He's a good king. He's a godly king. And now he's got an incredible battle. There's several kings from other areas and regions that have come against him. They are very mobilized. They are very organized. And they are very demonized. And here is the story of Jehoshaphat. Now watch this. Verse number 15 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says, and he said, listen, all of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but it is God's. That's awesome right there, isn't it? All right, look at the very first phrase of verse 16. Tomorrow, go down against them. Look at verse 17. You will not need to fight in this battle. Go down, but you don't need to fight. Watch and stay with me, because there's a lot here. You'll not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position. See the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. All right, now he's not explained why yet, but let me understand, there's a battle going on. You're supposed to go out, but I don't want you to do anything. So they're still trying to figure this thing out a little bit. Skip down and reading to verse number 20, if you would, please. And they rose early in the morning, and they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. Another good foundation. Amen? Believe in the word of God. Believe in the prophets. Believe in God. You're going to be established. And when he had taken counsel with the people, watch this, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire. And they went before the army, and they say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir that had come against Judah, so they were routed. Hello? What's this? Verse 24. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground, and none had escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, precious things, which they took for themselves, until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoils, because it was so much. It's one of the great battle stories that's in your Bible. And it's a story that we understand in New Testament terms when the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Which means this: you don't overcome the devil with your intelligence. You don't overcome the devil with your creativity. You don't overcome the devil with your retirement account, with your boat. You don't overcome the devil with guns or bombs. You don't overcome the devil with clubs or knives. You don't overcome the devil with the things that so many people operate in this world. God is a spirit. They that worship God worship him in spirit and in truth. And so God operates on a spiritual level. Praise and worship is not a natural thing. It's a spiritual thing. And the way we overcome the enemy is not in the natural, but it is by the Spirit. And they begin to praise and worship just like God commanded. And praise and worship, and they lay dead. As far as they could see, all of the armies of Moab and Mount Seir, all the armies of Ammon that had rose against, and when they looked out over the watchtower, the battle was won. The enemy was completely destroyed, and it had nothing to do with one sword being lifted, and there was so much booty to take, it took them 3 days to get it all in. Now, would that ever happen in our day? I mean, can you imagine the people of Judah who might say, well, when God gives us the victory, then we're going to praise the Lord. But until God gives us the victory, we're going to pray. Well, God said, here, I want you to praise your way to victory. Praise, I say it all the time, praise is the voice of faith. Praise is the voice of faith. Praise is the voice of faith. Can you imagine modern day generals? Can you imagine the President of the United States saying, listen, guys, we're not going to fire a single shot. We're not going to drop a single bomb. We're not going to send a single tank. We're not going to launch one missile. We're not going to do anything until we get the Marine band out front, until we get the Marine chorus out front, and we start declaring and singing about the blood of Jesus like we did this morning. We're not going to do a thing until we get that worship leading Luke Franks out front to come sing some songs of victory, and then we're going to go see the salvation of the Lord. See, it's not a part of our mindset. This I can tell this morning, this is as foreign to you as all get up, because because you just have a hard time. Our mindset is, I got to do something. I got money. I'm an American. I'll make it happen. And you see, the things of God don't operate on this world's system. God gave victory because they praise. Let me tell you why most of you don't have victory in Jesus is you're not willing to pay the price of praise. You're not willing to stay and to praise and to fight and to make it a spiritual battle. You want to manipulate it. You want to counsel it. You want to talk someone. You want to manipulate. And you don't win spiritual battles by being a manipulator. You win spiritual battles by being a worshiper. Psalm 22, in verse number 3, says this. It says, but you are holy, enthroned upon the praise of your people. See, God's presence. When I praise God, do you want your ability or do you want God's ability? Hello? Do you want your ability or do you want God's ability? And when you worship God, He inhabits, He's enthroned on the praises. You are holy and you're enthroned on the praises of Israel. You're enthroned on the praise of your people. Then what do? We welcome God's presence. Do I need my ability or do I want to welcome God's ability? When we praise Him, listen, folks, when we praise Him, we bring God into the situation. Somebody say amen this morning. We welcome God. Shared with you, God's address. God lives in praises. God's address is praise. You want to know where God lives? Where there's praise. He dwells. Let me tell you what profanity is. We're talking about praising His holy name. We'll talk about this when we get to the Ten Commandments. But let me let you in on a little secret here. Let me tell you about damning God's name, profaning God's name, taking Jesus in vain. When you profane the name of God, it's praise in reverse. I've heard people for years. I grew up in the church. I used to sing a song. Used to travel. I was an evangelist, and I had a little sound system, and I had soundtracks, and I sang and sang and sang. And I used to sing a song that my dad always liked. He's more than just a swear word, more than just an I don't care word. And I've heard people my whole life say, boy, I just hate it whenever people take God's name in vain because that's my precious Savior. And I guess I get that. But let me tell you, it's so much more than people taking God's name and it offends your little heart because He's your precious Savior. Let me tell you why there's a click there, why there's a catch there when someone takes and damns God's name or takes Jesus' name. It's because of this. When you praise God, you welcome His presence. And when you damn God, you praise in reverse, you welcome evil's presence. So every time you take God's name in vain, you're saying, devil, you're welcome here. Every time you praise God, you're saying, Jesus, you're welcome here. Hello? And so I think it's so much more than that just hurts my heart because He's my Savior. Yeah, He's my Savior. Well, I don't want people making fun of my Savior. You know what? I don't either. But people have made fun of Jesus His whole life, our whole life, and they'll always make fun of Jesus. You know that. But let me tell you what the real point is when you damn God, when His name is taken in vain, then all of a sudden evil is welcome to that place. That's why when I'm with guys that take God's name in vain and they let it fly, you know what I say? I don't always say it out loud, but I say it under my breath. As soon as they damn God, I say, I praise you, Lord. Because if the devil's here, I want you here. Amen. Come on. Amen. Do you begin to see this? The presence of God is the most important thing you can have in your life. It's what resists the devil. It's what puts up a barrier against him. Anybody here allergic to cats, dogs, anything like that? Man, I've known people that are allergic to cats. I'm not talking about whether you like them. I'm talking about whether you're allergic to them. I've known people, they walk into a house, they're going to start sneezing. They're going to start carrying on because they're allergic to that cat hair. Can I tell you this? The devil is allergic to the praises of God. And he vacates that place when there's a people that worship him. Where there's a church that worships God, they're not going to be a bunch of evil lurking around. It's going to get run out. And in your life and in your home, if you'll bless God instead of damn God, you're going to have the presence of God there. And when the enemy rushes in like a flood, when you praise him, that praise pushes back the enemy in our lives. Amen. Convinced of it. Absolutely convinced of it. Let me take it another step just to show you this. Look at Psalm chapter 8 and verse number 2. So how many get this idea? Here's the army and they're praising God and the enemy gets silenced. How many get the idea? We're coming into this place and we're blessing and praising God and the enemy is silenced. Amen? He's defeated. There's something awesome about corporate worship. About corporate praise. I want to tell you also, there's something awesome about that. I will bless the Lord at all times. That continual praise. That continual praise. Ever since this fast, I can't seem to get out of those first 8-10 chapters. So, right there between Psalm 100 and Psalm 110. I can't get much further beyond. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. I don't get much beyond those words of praising God for his goodness. There's an old chair I sat in. There's a little table that we got. And my Bible has just stayed open. It's one of my dad's old Bibles. And I think I told you I have all of his Bibles, preaching Bibles. I think my sisters may have a couple of them. I love looking at all the writing and scribbling and things. And let me just tell you, maybe one of the best things you could pass on to your children and grandchildren is a worn-out Bible that has some commentary written in the pages so those kiddos can see how God took care of mom and dad and how God provided for mom and dad. Some of the verses that mom and dad stood on, and you never know what a blessing that might be to your children. Because it has been to us. I sensed a renewed presence of God in me. I have practiced this verse for years. And I've practiced this verse within the last few days. And what I'm about to teach you about private worship, and it goes hand in hand with our public declaration, when we're together corporately or when we're alone, of how the enemy is defeated with our praise. Listen to this in Psalm 8:2. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength. Because of your foes, to still. Everybody say still. Still. Another word, silence. Everybody say silence. To still, to silence the enemy and the avenger. Jesus gave a little clarification to this passage of Scripture in Matthew 21 and verse 16 when he said to them, do you not hear what they are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read from Psalm? Have you never read out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have prepared praise. Up here in Psalms, it says you have established strength because of your foes to still the avenger. And Jesus says that that strength comes by, hello, praise. By praise. Now look at me and listen real good. You can't praise God and listen to the devil at the same time. And the devil is a liar. And he's the father of lies. And he tells you from A to Z, you're going to die prematurely. Your kids, something's going to happen. You're going to lose your job. You're going to go broke. You're not going to be able to make it. Your marriage won't sustain. The devil will lie about everything, every promise of God. He will cast doubt upon it. And the mind, here's what happens, is people, most people don't understand how to bring every thought into captivity. Most people don't understand, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, good, just, and honest, if there be any virtue, if there be any good thing, think on these things. They don't know how to activate it. We got it memorized. We got it on the wall. It's a beautiful scripture. Praise God. It's a beautiful saying. But we don't know what in the world it means. What it means is this. It means to redirect our thoughts. It means this. It means to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. My life, obedience, my life is a life of worship. It's a life of worship. Satan is silenced by worship. Satan is defeated by worship. And if you have to lay in bed and just praise God, thank you, Jesus. I give you glory, honor, and praise. I thank you that you're my healer, my deliverer. I thank you you're the glory and the lifter of my head. I thank you that you're my protector. I thank you greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Glory and honor and praise be to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb of God forever and ever and ever. And ever and ever and ever. I bless you. I praise you. I worship you. And it's learning to take control of your mind by speaking the word of God, by worshiping God, and it silences the enemy. You say, I can't do that all the time. You better learn how. I will bless the Lord at all time. His praise shall continually. I would get some praise music going in my car. I would get it going in my house. I would get it going in my mind. If you ever want to move beyond the natural and the mundane and the frustration and the defeat and the disappointment of this whole world and move into a level of freedom and victory and peace, and whom the Son has set free is free indeed, that's where you'll find it. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.